God is good, and there's a lot of things going on. Peg is going to be fine, right? Amen. It's always exciting to have missionaries amongst us. It's always exciting when we get to celebrate going somewhere. My understanding is that you're going to be going to India first. Have fun. It's hot there this time of year. And you're going to Honduras. And it's always hot there. Let's ask God to bless His Word. Father, I thank You that You've given us Your Word. We thank You that You will be with Peg and that You will heal her body. Give her strength. I ask, Father God, that You'd also strengthen us this morning and that You'd motivate us by Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Slide 2 will be the first one. You know, there's things in life that are fundamental. There's a lot of different things that all of us are involved with, and you understand that there are some things that you have to do that are fundamental to be able to be successful in a number of areas. For me, one of those areas that I've always known and I have a little bit of a passion for is baseball. And if you don't know the fundamentals, you don't play baseball well. But this is true with every area of life. Everything that we choose to do, every endeavor, music, art, sports, finance, business, marriage, parenting, everything requires us to follow with some kind of program of establishing and growing in the fundamentals. Fundamentals are the primary principles and actions and skills upon which other things are built. I want to share with you some fundamentals this morning. And we've already seen some of those fundamentals in practice, and we've heard about some of those. But I want us to be pushed a little bit. And I believe that God wants us to be pushed a little bit. So if you would, turn with me to the last chapter of 1 Corinthians and look at 5 fundamentals of Christian living. For 15 chapters, Paul has said, don't do this, don't do that, stop that practice. He's given them a lot of input. He's scolded them. And now at the end of the letter, he turns the tables and he gives 5 fundamental truths that are foundational to living a successful life as a Christian. He says this, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. In that passage, in those 2 verses, there are 5 Greek imperatives. And in those... Let me back up. An imperative. You need to know what an imperative means. The imperative means that they're not optional. So we could say that in these two verses, this short passage, there are 5 commands. Not suggestions, they're commands. And in some ways, they're strong enough that these are demands on the part of the Holy Spirit for the believer. These are for us, and this is the foundation. This is the fundamentals of having a successful Christian life. The first one is be on the alert. Be on the alert. We don't ever know what's going to happen, do we? Case in point this morning. The word translated alert is from Gregario, and it means to watch, to be alert, to be vigilant. And figuratively, it sometimes is used to mean be alive. And the term is used like 22 times in the New Testament. And it's often in reference to Christians being spiritually awake and alert, as opposed to being spiritually indifferent and listless. We are to be looking for danger and the attacks of the enemy. It is the opposite of being spiritually indifferent. Paul says... He's saying to us, wake up, be alert. If you search this word out in most lexicons, you'll find out that it has more than just being awake as opposed to being asleep. It has to do with this idea of making a determined effort to being alert. It's a purposeful desire to being awake and on task. The idea is to know, in whatever way possible, what's going on. What in the world's going on? The word watch or awake or be alert is used again and again in reference to Christian life, being a life of alertness. We've got to be awake. We've got to be alert. To understand what's going on, to evaluate, and to be aware of our adversary, we need to be fully engaged, fully awake. We need to be alert. I believe passionately that you can't live the Christian life in a state of stupor. You know, that place that you're at, you know, kind of in between awake and asleep. You know, that kind of drowsiness. We can't live there. We've got to be alert. You will never live the Christian life with a sense of victory by running around in ignorance. Have you noticed that? You'll never function on principles you don't know. Peter uses this same word in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It's a verse that most of us have heard many times. He says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert." There's the word. "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." That's who he is. That's what he's doing. And if I were in a jungle, if I was somewhere where I knew there were lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And I'm aware of the fact that I could come under some kind of attack, I would be watchful. I've done this. I have very often taken young people on backpacking trips into a part of the northern Colorado mountains, and I know there are wolves, and I know there are wolverines, and I know there are big cats. Big cats. Now, I have never, ever, in all the years of being in the outdoors, I've never actually seen a big cat in the wilderness. But I've seen paw prints, and I've heard them. So when I go into those places, you know, one of the things that Emily will attest is when I went on those trips, I rarely slept. Night after night, I would stay awake. Why? Because I want to be fully alert. Because I don't want someone that I am responsible for being taken by one of these cats. As a pastor, I feel the same way. I don't want any one of you to be snatched by the enemy. I want you to be alert. I want you to help me with that. Satan is always on the prowl. He's always looking for opportunities to attack us, attack our families, our children. He wants everything he can to separate us from God's truth. So we need to be alert. I need you to be alert. The body of Christ needs you to be alert. Your family, men, your family needs you to be alert. That's one of the foundations. That's one of the fundamentals of successful Christian living. Being alert. The second imperative that Paul gives is stand firm in the faith. You know, one of the things that I've always liked about certain Christians, and that what I like about good, solid believers is those that believe and they cannot be moved. I like people who cannot be moved from what they believe. I get frustrated with people who kind of float and vacillate and go this way and that way as though they were being blown by the wind. I like people who really believe what they believe and hold to it. Paul says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm is the Greek word stako. And it means to be stationary. Literally, it means to be stationary. And figuratively, it means to persevere. Be firm. unmovable. Stand fast in the faith. And the faith that he wants us to stand fast in isn't just that, you know, that faith that we talk about when we come to Christ, you know, having Christ, you know, in our life and believing and that. This really has more to do with the content of God's revelation. This is the word. This is the truth. That's the faith. Be firm and unmovable in what we know from God, what he has revealed to us. Stand steadfast, unmovable in the gospel, the truth of God. Stand fast in the faith. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the gospel. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold on to the faith, because Satan wants to snatch that faith away from us. He wants to keep us from the content of the truth. More than anything else, he wants us to not be in the Word. More than anything else, he wants us to doubt what God has revealed to us. Stand fast in the faith, the system of truths revealed by God, who supernaturally reveals the content of the gospel, and this revelation has absolutely no equal. Amen? The Word of God has no equal. There are way too many Christians who are lured away by false doctrine. Too many easily fall to temptation. Too many drop out of church. Too many are like yo-yos. They're up and they're down. And I was thinking, you know, if it's a yo-yo illustration, yeah, they're up and down, but they also are going this way. God wants us believers, brothers and sisters, he wants us to stand firm, to be faithful, and to persevere. Now, in those two imperatives, in those first two commands, there's a connection. If there's no watchfulness in your life, if there's no watching, if you're asleep, if you're walking around in your Christian life kind of like this, a little snore here and there, I really doubt if there's much steadfastness. Because what are you standing on? You don't know. Why would you be standing? Well, you don't know. If you're not aware of an attack, if you're not aware that the attack is a possibility, you're not able to stand against the attack. Satan cannot take your saving faith away from you. I believe that we are fully secure. Amen? We are saved. But he can and often does obscure the content of our faith, obscure the content of what we understand and what we're living. The sound doctrine of God's word. If we don't hold fast to the right interpretations of Scripture, we are certain to slip into wrong thinking, wrong belief, wrong behavior. We need to stand fast to the word, and we need to be alert to do that. And one of the ways that we stand firm in the faith is by learning the doctrines of our faith, by learning doctrine. Paul taught the Ephesians this was the ministry of pastors and teachers. That's what's happening now. Now, I think it is a work of God every Sunday that he brings us together so that we can learn and we can share in that learning, and we can grow together. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature men, or a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Maturity, growth, learning. Knowing the Word of God provides us with a solid foundation upon which to stand. And upon that foundation, we can stand and not be moved. upon that foundation, we can recognize temptations and we can recognize false doctrine. But you can't be firm if all you have going are what you hear about the philosophies of the world. They change all the time. They're either based on human opinion or tradition or even inspired by demons. What are you putting your trust in? What are you standing on? If we're to be firm in the faith, we must be well taught in the Word, looking at everything, judging everything by God's truth, by His standards. I don't want you to stand on my opinions. I want you to stand on God's Word. The next command. The next command from Paul is, yeah, I'm sorry, ladies, that Paul did it this way, but you'll get the idea. Act like men. Unfortunately, most of the church is filled with men who don't act like men. Guys, I'm sorry if I offend any of you. We need to step up to the plate. We need to be alert. We need to be strong. And we need to act like men. And the literal idea of this phrase is be men constantly. And it conveys the idea of mature courage. The word refers to having positive masculine qualities. This is why some translations will translate that by that phrase, be brave. Be courageous. Now, ladies, be courageous and be men in a feminine way. I won't go there any more than that. This phrase could also be interpreted as be like a man in contrast to being like a boy. It's the maturity thing. The mature person has a sense of control and confidence and courage that the immature or childish person does not have. In the spiritual battles of life, you must have courage. I'm not just talking about maybe those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities where you may come face-to-face with a demon or a demon-possessed person. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the everyday life that we live as a believer. We need the courage to be able to stand. And the courage to say, this is what I believe, and nothing will take me from that point. Paul is referring to the virtue of Christian manliness with its strong connotations of bravery and unflinching courage. Remember what Jesus said? Luke chapter 12, verse 4. He said this to his disciples. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. Don't be afraid of those that can only send you home. To be a strong Christian, you must have the maturity of a full-grown man. Courage, bravery, being a true Christian and having a Christian life is not easy. It takes strength to stand for righteousness. It takes strength to stand for righteousness and to resist the peer pressure of the world. This takes us to the next one of Paul's commands. He says, be strong. Be strong. This is from the Greek term kratio. I'm not sure I pronounced that one right, but that's okay. Which is frequently used in the New Testament to denote inner spiritual growth. Paul is not talking about physical strength. You know, if that's all it took, then we all need to be in the gym, don't we? We all need to lose 10 or 15 pounds. And we need to get buff. Is that true? Paul's not talking about that. He's talking about strength of character. We cannot also, this is an interesting thing. We share in the process of gaining strength, but we don't strengthen ourselves. That's something the Lord does in us. We help with that. We can resist that, or we can be with Him in that. But He's the one who strengthens us. Our part then is to submit ourselves to Him in order that He can strengthen us. Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. And in 2 Timothy 2, you therefore, my sons, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're to be strong. We're to be courageous. We're to act like men. We are to be alert. We're to be fully engaged. These are the imperatives. These are the commands that Paul gives to us about having a successful Christian life. Strong. Strong strength. Strong. Well, what are we to do with this strength from the Lord? How do we live this out? Because we're certainly not supposed to use the strength that we're to have in God destructively or to harm someone. We need strength to win spiritual battles that are in our lives. We need strength to resist temptation. We need strength to be faithful for service. Sometimes it irritates me. Eric, this won't be in your notes. Sometimes it irritates me that there are so few men, who are fully engaged spiritually. That irritates me. We need the strength of men. Brothers, let me speak to the guys for just a minute. Ladies, just breathe deeply and relax. Guys, the women in our fellowship, the women in our families, need us to be fully engaged spiritually. They do. They need us fully awake. They need us acting like men. They need us to be courageous. They need us to be standing firm in faith. And this all comes to the fifth then. Ladies, you can join us again. And the fifth principle for living actually is the most comprehensive. And without the fifth one, the others could just make us crusty, militant, and hard. Nasty. Because we could be hard and tough and strong and stubborn in the wrong ways. And some of us are. The fifth one, Paul says, is let all that you do be done in love. Love complements and balances everything else. It is the beautiful softening principle. It keeps our firmness from becoming hardness and our strength from becoming domineering. It keeps our maturity gentle and considerate. And it keeps our right doctrine from becoming obstinate dogmatism. Love keeps our right living from becoming smug self-righteousness. Peter mentions this as well. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep fervent in love, in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. You want to know one of the things that I hate the most as a pastor? You want to know? Anybody? I got two hands in the back. I got one over here. I got a couple. You want to know what I hate? It's just one of them. I hate to have to play referee between two believers. I get so tired of that. I cannot express to you how many times I've come away from those kinds of situations and gone, would y'all grow up? Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Love, like spiritual strength, comes from the Lord. We're able to love one another because He first loved us. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, "Let all that you do be done with love." This means in all of your affairs, whether you are at home, when you're at work, when you face hurt or rejection, you show love as Jesus did.